Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hi.
Siri. Welcome to High Theory.
In this podcast, we get high on the substance of theory.
I'm Sharunik Boshu.
And I'm Kim Adams.
We are two tired academics trying to save critique from itself.
In each episode of High Theory, we ask our guests what the heck something is, how do we use said thing, and how will that thing save the world?
That last question inevitably provokes a response from our listeners before they even try to answer it. We get a lot of laughs, a lot of denials, and a lot of questions. Well, about our question.
So we decided to make a new series of even shorter episodes, asking each other how a bunch of things will save the world.
Usually, we are asking people about big abstract ideas like alienation and civil disobedience, or specific research terms like neurasthenia and affective masculinities.
For this series, we're asking each other about simple things like hats and seltzer, horses and socks.
They sound a bit different too, so we are calling these episodes sillies. Listen to the madness and then check our show notes for some topical and not so silly information.
Hope you're wearing your silly pants.
Denim is the material?
Denim is the material, yeah.
And jeans, what are jeans?
The pants made out of the material.
How will jeans save the world, Kelly?
Jeans,
there's an answer from the Cold War.
Oh, wow.
That says, you know, like, this is how America is going to save the world, with democracy and jeans, right? It's like export commodities. That we export freedom and denim. And rock and roll, of course.
Okay.
And that's how we're going to take down the Berlin Wall and save the world from the encroaching threat of communist unfreedom.
Okay. Sorry to tamp down on your enthusiasm, but I did not ask you how will jeans save the world in 1989.
Specify the time frame.
How will jeans save the world in 2023?
Oh, that one's less likely. They'll probably destroy it.
Okay. I know that jeans was this kind of very solid symbol of liberation for me, because when I was growing up, as you said, like, you know, America was exporting jeans.
Okay.
Or through pop culture, not so much, I guess, through actual.
Yeah, jeans are ideological objects as opposed to real pants.
And I remember, like, I was expressly barred from wearing jeans for a while because it was kind of the, like, my rich cousins were wearing them before me, my rich friends were wearing them before me, and for, like, a middle-class household, jeans was a symbol of excess. And so I remember the first time that I wore one, which was someone gave it to me during, you know, the Durga Puja, which is, you know, the big festival that we have where you present each other with clothes. So
the first time you wore jeans.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was co-opted into capitalism, but it felt really good.
Okay.
If jeans remain a symbol of youth culture,
mm-hmm.
it might make a comeback, you know, like Gen Z is reinventing all kinds of sartorial trends, which, you know, from the, although they think that the 90s is like the remote past. You know, beyond like dad jeans and mom jeans, if it becomes again a true symbol of youth culture, that I think has saving the world potential.
Yeah, I can see it. That's the sort of like classic mode of liberation, is that the next generation will save us. So, like,
true.
The youth.
The template already exists for, I mean, yes, of course, distressed jeans is distressed in factories.
Mm-hmm.
But distressing jeans yourself, that template already exists. So you get something that is factory made and make it into your own. And that particular template exists more for jeans than for any other kind of clothing, I think.
Yeah. What about bell bottoms?
That's like the 70s.
Yeah.
Right.
And but I made my own bell bottoms.
I don't feel young.
In the 90s, which was a rehashing of the 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't feel young often, Kim, but like, I'm allowed to refer to the 70s as the, like, the past.
The 70s are definitely the past. But
that being, no, right. But that being said, my dad has a picture wearing bell bottoms, which he's really embarrassed about.
But like, denim pants were working class clothes in the US, right?
Right.
Like distressed jeans, one of the things that the counterculture did was to take those working class garments in the same way they took like military garments, American flags and stuff, and sort of repurpose them as part of a liberation aesthetic within a youth culture, right? And like to take the jeans and rip them apart yourself, or to, you know, stitch a panel in the side that makes it flare out. Those are like sort of both kind of moves of what people call like rugged capitalism, right?
Right.
Or like rugged consumerism.
Yeah. I mean, capitalism invents its own fringes.
Invents its own what?
Fringes. I feel like that's a really cool sentence that I just invented.
Capitalism invents its own fringes, but like,
you know, so that you can still stay inside while feeling that you're outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Capitalism invents its own outside.
Yeah.
No, but what was I going to say? Yes, I don't have any flesh memory of bell bottoms being revolutionary, but I can ask my dad if when he wore it, was he wearing it as an act of subversion? He might have been, because that was, I think that was also the time when he met my mom. So it's possible that he was trying to impress him. Do you not have anything else to say about jeans?
Not really.
There's this Indian film called Jeans, which is really bad. Well,
jeans with a G is very different, right?
No, it's not G-E-N-E-S jeans. It's G-E-N-S jeans.
I believe you that the film is called J. I have to say, I have lots of things to say about jeans with a G.
Right. But in the Jordan Peele movie, Nope. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. You probably won't see it, so might as well spoil it.
Sorry.
But
I did see Get Out. I was culturally literate at one point.
Well, not really clear. Care about spoilers, right?
No, not at all.
Okay. So anyway, there is this like alien entity that's called Jean Jacket. I'm forgetting why. Why is it called Jean Jacket? Nope. Jean Jacket.
Why? I don't know, but my advisor was called Jean Jarrett, which sounds a bit like Jean Jacket.
Jean Jacket.
I'm going to stop the clock now.
High tag.
High tag.
He doesn't wear jeans.
He doesn't wear jeans, but he will look very handsome if he did.
Miles.
Sorry, what?
Doug should not wear pants.
And thank you for listening to High Theory.
If you like our podcast, please review and subscribe wherever you get your podcast fix.
Owen Quinn composes our theme music. Sharonic Bosu and Kim Adams edit our audio. And Sharonic Bosu manages our social media.
You can find High Theory on the New Books Network and also on hightheory.net.
We hope you have a highly theoretical day.
Yes.
Yeah.